إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, session number two, reading from the book Hablullah al-Mamdood, yani al-Quran, Hablullah al-Mamdood. That's the first part of it. And the second part, inshallah, that will follow is Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. And his character was the Qur'an. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the mention of some of the distinguishing characteristics, some of the benefits of adhering to, following, and implementing the Qur'an in one's life. But before we look at the topics that the Shaykh has mentioned here, we want to quickly review some of the topics that we dealt with last week from the study guide number one. Okay, so let's quickly try to go through this first study guide. 9 questions. There were 10 questions in the study guide last week. We only covered 9 of them, so the 10th question is going to be with us tonight, inshallah, as question number one tonight. So really we had 9 questions last week. Okay, question number one. The title of the book in Arabic or English. The title of the book in Arabic and or English. Naam Shu'aib. Al-Qur'an Hablullah Al-Mamdood. Naam. Meaning? Yani Al-Qur'an, the outstretched rope of Allah. In brief, this is not one of the questions, but in brief, what Yani, do we understand, in brief, yani, few words, what do we mean by the Qur'an, the outstretched rope of Allah? What do we mean by that?
Guidance.
Huh?
Guidance.
Guidance. But why this, yani, description of the Qur'an as an outstretched rope of Allah? Naam, Musa.
It is a way of connecting.
Because it's a means of connecting. It's a rope, yani, that as we will see, yani, in some of in the questions that follow the hadith, yani, it's a rope that connects the believer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a rope that is extended from the heavens to the earth, and it is our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the Qur'an is our connection to Allah. Okay, question number two, yani we'll look at this as we look at the remaining questions. Question number two, name the author, the mu'allif, and something brief about his education, his teachers, his writings, and his occupation. Yani the author, his name first, naam. Naam, Sheikh Abdul Razzaq ibn Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Naam.
He's from Medina.
He lives in Medina. Naam.
And
where is he from? Where was he born? Yani in the province. Yeah, Zulfa. Naam. But he when he was young, Naam, he came to Medina with his father, yani being yani one of the people appointed to teach in the Islamic University of Medina from its beginning when it first opened. So he came to Medina yani early on, Naam.
He studied until doctorate in the Jamia
Islamiyah. Okay, all of his education is in the Islamic University of Medina, yani his undergraduate studies, masters and PhD degree. Somebody else, what else? What else about the Sheikh? Yani something about his writings or his teachers. Naam. Okay, his occupation. He's a professor in the Islamic University of Medina right now. Naam, Ibrahim.
From his writings, Fiqh al-Adiliyyah
Naam. From his writings, Fiqh al-Ad'i wal-Adhkar, yani a book that he himself compiled from his own writings, Naam. Ta'zim al-Salat, also compiled from his own writings, Naam. Mustafa?
Hajj
what?
Refinement.
And refinement of the souls. Yeah, any book that he wrote about Hajj, Naam, Shuaib?
One of his teachers was his own father.
Okay, before we go to his teacher, his father, any other books? Yeah, any books that he explained from other scholars? Book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymin, Imam Bukhari, al-Tahawi. Give me one of those books.
Al-Wabil
al-Sayyib. Tayyib? Huh? Al-Wasiyya al-Sughra? Uh-huh. Huh? Kitab al-Tawheed? Does the Shaykh have an explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed? Okay. Okay. Naam? Huh? Explanation of?
Of
Sira.
Yeah,
Uh-huh. Huh? Al-Sharia? Al-Ajuri? Naam? Anyway, the Shaykh has many books. Few books that he wrote from himself and a lot of explanations of the books of the earlier scholars. As far as his teachers, Shuaib said his father, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. Also, from amongst his teachers, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, Rahimahullah, Al-Uthaymeen, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Nasir, Ali Al-Faqih, Naam.
Al-Uthaymeen,
Naam. Tayyib, did we cover everything? His writings, his teachers, his occupation, Naam. Tayyib. Okay, this is a brief summary about the Shaykh. He has been lecturing in the Prophet's Masjid sometimes and in other masajid in Saudi Arabia and outside of Saudi Arabia, and he's traveled pretty much around the world. Question number two. Memorize a hadith which proves that the Quran is hablullah, the rope of Allah. A hadith. First, there were three hadith that we mentioned. Okay, somebody who memorized the first hadith, the hadith reported by Imam Muslim. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim, Musa. Who's the narrator of the hadith? Anybody?
Imam Muslim.
No, it's collected by Imam Muslim. The narrator is Sahabi. Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu. Now, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أحدهما كتاب الله عز وجل هو حبل الله من اتبعه كان على الهدى ومن تركه كان على ضلاله.
نعم. The hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us about the Quran. He said, indeed, I have left amongst you two, thaqalain, two weighty things. One of them is the book of Allah. It is the rope of Allah. Whoever, man ittaba'ahu, ittiba', whoever follows it, then he will be upon right guidance, and whoever abandons it, he will be upon misguidance. He will be astray, ala dalala. Second hadith that's reported by who? Musnad Imam Ahmed from Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Naam, who memorized this hadith? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, mashaAllah. Okay, Abdul Haq, hear his hand first.
Okay,
And Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu.
Okay, and Abu Sayyid al-Khudri,
كتاب الله حبل ممدود من السماء إلى الأرض. The book of Allah is a rope extended from the heavens to the earth. And the third hadith, the last of the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, is the hadith. Who's the narrator of the hadith? Sahabi. Who's the Sahabi? Abu Shurayh al-Khuzai. And the collector of the hadith? Ibn Abi Shayb in his Musannaf. Tayyib, Mustafa. Glad tidings, good news, Naam. Are you not bearing witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah? Naam. They said yes.
طرفه في يد الله وطرفه في أيديكم
فتمسكوا به فإنكم نعم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, glad tidings or good news. And is it not so that you are bearing witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah? They said, yes. And then he said, indeed, this Quran is a sabab. Inna hadha al-Quran sababun. It is a sabab. One end of it is in the hand of Allah, and one end of it is in your hands. فَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ So hold tight to it. Hold fast to it. Cling to it. Yani, indeed, you will not go astray. And you will not be destroyed. بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا After it ever. Yani, if you hold tight to the Book of Allah. These are the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, three hadith, and we should at least memorize one of them. The third question, mention the benefit in brief of ittiba', yani the benefit of following the Book of Allah from the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, reported by Imam Muslim radiallahu anhu. What is the benefit, yani, of following the book from this hadith? What is the benefit that we understand from this hadith? Naam, nobody in the back? Nobody in the back? Tayyib, fadl. من اتبعه
كان على الهدى
ومن تركه كان على ضلالة The benefit of ittiba' that's mentioned in this hadith is that whoever يعني follows it, they will be upon right guidance. And whoever abandons it, they will be upon misguidance. And this is crystal clear benefit. Question number four, mention the benefit of tamassuk, yani holding fast, clinging, adhering to the Book of Allah. And this is from the hadith of Abu Shuray, yani al-Khuza'i, radiallahu anhu, reported by Ibn Abi Shayb in his Musannaf. What is the benefit of tamassuk that's mentioned in this hadith? The benefit of tamassuk, Naam Ibrahim. Yani that you will not go astray. And you will not be destroyed. Yani, if you what? Tamassaku. Yani, that this, yani, Quran is a sababun, and one end of it is in the hand of Allah, and the other end of it is in your hands. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a rope, and you are on two sides, Allah is on one side of you, on the other side of you. This is your connection to Allah. Fatamassaku bihi. Therefore, hold tight to it, and indeed, if you do so, you'll never go astray or be destroyed. Question number five, mentioned five matters listed by the author, حفظه الله, for which the Quran was sent down. Five matters for which the Quran was sent down. Now, Mustafa, one.
Guidance for humanity.
Guidance for humanity. Two. Salahuddin.
Betterment for mankind.
Betterment for mankind. Naam. A means of earning, yani, of achieving piety or righteousness. Naam. Naam.
Zikr al
mu'mineen. A reminder for the believers. Naam. Shifa'un limas fi sudur, yani healing, cure, yani healing for that which is in the chest. And he also mentioned after that, ضِيَاءٌ وَنُورٌ وَبَرَكَةٌ لِمَنْ لِمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ For those who are the people of Quran, it will be a light and it will be a, yani, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ barakah. Question number six. Mention four areas of our lives in which the Quran is intended to be taken as a manhaj. Four areas in our lives, four aspects of our lives that the Quran is intended to be taken as a manhaj. Sulaiman.
Worship.
In our worship. Naam.
Aqeedah.
In our aqeedah. Naam.
Character.
Character. Uh-huh. In our dealings, interaction with the people, social and business dealings. In our life in general, and specifically though, one we missed, adab, in our manners, in our etiquette, in our character, in our manners, in our worship, wa taqarrub, and getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in other areas, but the Shaykh mentioned these things. He mentioned these particular matters, in our akhlaq and adab and muamala and ta'abbud wa taqarrub ila Allah. Question number 7, memorize the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she describes the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. Yani the hadith of Aisha, Shu'ib. Yani when Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, when she was asked about the character of the Prophet, she said in brief, just a few words, Kana khuluquhu al Quran. Yani meaning? His character was the Quran. Naam, question number 8, yani, and of course the discussion of this matter and this particular hadith, yani, it was in detail. For the sake of brevity, we're just quickly trying to review. Discuss the reason why Allah has named the Quran a ruh. Why has Allah named the Quran a ruh? Naam. Allahu musta'an. Naam, Mustafa.
This is what brings life to the heart.
Because the Quran is what brings life to the heart. Yani the real life of the heart is from, by means of the Quran. Is by means of the Quran. Naam. It's sufficiency for the souls. Naam. But here, the meaning here is that, why is it called ruh? Because the ruh is the real life of the human being, right? Not the physical body. Because if the ruh is gone, the physical body is nothing. So likewise, the human being who's not being guided by the Quran is just like a dead body, a dead corpse. But it's only by means of the Quran that the human being has real life. Hayatul qulub haqiqiyya is bi tariqatul Quran. The real life of the hearts is only by means of the Quran. And last question, where else has Allah used this expression ruh in the Quran referring to other than the Quran, and why? Referring to other than the Quran, where else has it been used referring to other than the Quran, and why? Naam, Abdul Haq. Okay, somebody translate what he said. Yani, now I'm sorry. Naam, he said he named Jibreel alayhi salam with this expression ruh because he nazala bihi ar-ruh al-amin. He is the one who descended with the Quran. So Allah called him ar-ruh, ar-ruh al-amin in one place and other places ar-ruh. And that's because he is the one who descended with the Quran, which is the life of the heart or the life of the human being. The true life of the human being is the Quran. He's the one who descended with it. So he's also referred to as ar-ruh. Okay, this is some of the points that we covered last week. And I just want to say before we read from tonight, last week we read from the English translation from the biography of the author, and we read the first section from pages 7 through 19. So today we're going to start in the English translation on page 20. In case somebody wasn't here, last week we're going to start on page 20. In the Arabic we read from page 3 through 9. So today, inshallah, and we didn't finish page 9, so we're going to start on page 9 in Arabic and yani go as far as we can. We're going to start on page 9 today in Arabic. Okay, so last week we mentioned some things related to the importance of the Quran, description of the Quran as the rope that Allah has extended from the heavens to the earth, our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Quran is the real, true life for the human being. Today, inshallah, we want to mention some other points related to this. Yani, we left off last week talking about, yani, last week, where the Shaykh says, just as the dead earth is given life by water, and he mentioned the ayah from the Quran related to this, from Surah Al-Hajj 22:5, just as the dead earth is given life from water, this from last week. كَذَلِكَ الْقُلُوبُ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَن تَحْيِي وَأَن تَذُوقُ طَعْمَ الْحَيَاةِ وَأَن تَتَلَذَّذْ بِسَعَادَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. This is where we ended off last week, that just as the dead earth is given life by water, so likewise the hearts of the human beings are not possible to be given life, nor for them to taste the flavor of life, the true sweetness of life, or to enjoy the happiness of this world or the next life except through this Quran. Without the Quran and acting upon it, the human being will live a life that is the life of animals. يعني عيشة بهيمية لا عيشة حقيقية. They will not have real life. That's the last thing that we read last week and tonight. يعني like I said, in English we're going to start on page 20, and in Arabic, يعني on page, يعني halfway down page 9, where the Sheikh says, ولهذا يقول الله تعالى. This is where we want to start tonight. And for this reason, يعني what is the reason that the true life of the human being, the life of the hearts in reality, is by the Quran. Without that, human beings live the life of animals. يعني people who are not guided by the Quran, they are living the life of just animals, just eating and sleeping and having sexual pleasures. There's no real life. That's the life of animals. That's how animals live. But only by the Quran, the human being lives a real life, a true life. And here the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And for this reason, Allah the Most High says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. So if there comes to you from me guidance, فَمَنِ اتَّبَى هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Then whoever follows my guidance, then he will never go astray. فَلَا يَضِلُّ. He will not go astray. وَلَا يَشْقَى. And he will not be any unhappy. He will not be miserable, in distress, in difficulty. And whoever follows my guidance, then he will not go astray and he will not be in misery or in distress. This is from Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 123rd Ayah. Okay, this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if my guidance comes to you, then whoever follows it, they will not go astray. And they will not be in a wretched condition. They will not be in misery. They will not be in distress. So if a person is experiencing some misery, some distress, some difficulty, then it all goes back to following the Quran. And we have to look at ourselves. Don't blame it on anything else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us here, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ. Whoever follows it, that's a shirk. And the jawab of shirk, that person will not go astray. And they will not be in misery. The Shaykh says here, وَنَفْيُ الضَّلَالَ. يعني the negation of dalala, misguidance, in this ayat, فَلَا يَضِلُّ. يعني Allah says he will not go astray. The negation of misguidance, فِيهِ إِثْبَاتَ الْهِدَايَةِ. It contains the affirmation of guidance. Meaning by Allah saying he will not go astray, he will not be in misguidance, then that means Allah is affirming that this person will be guided. إِثْبَاتَ الْهِدَايَةِ. وَنَفِي الشَّقَاءِ or الشَّقَاوَى, يعني same meaning, فِي إِثْبَاتْ السَّعَادَةِ. And the negation of شَقَاء, يعني of a person being miserable. Allah says he will not be miserable. He will not be wretched. He will not be, يعني unhappy. Then this is the affirmation of السَّعَادَةِ, happiness and well-being and good fortune. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates يعني الضلال, and he negates شقاء, and that means that he is affirming that this person who follows his guidance will be upon guidance and they will have a happy life. فَمَنْ أَرَادَ لِنَفْسِهِ هِدَايَةً وَسَعَادَةً فَعَلَيْهِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. This is crystal clear. The Shaykh is saying here, therefore, whoever wants for himself right guidance and happiness, then it is incumbent upon that person to find it in the Qur'an. Don't look anywhere else. And don't imagine that it's going to come from something else. Don't imagine it's going to come from getting a better job or living in a better place or having a lot of money. That's not where happiness is going to come from. Whoever wants, yani sa'ada, happiness, whoever wants hidayah, guidance, fa'alayhi bil Qur'an. Yani turn to the Qur'an, concentrate on the Qur'an, give yourself over to the Qur'an. Don't get sidetracked with something else. Fa'alayhi bil Qur'an. وَيُقُولُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. And Allah, the Majestic and the Most High, He says, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَىٰ. Yani we have not sent down upon you this Qur'an so that you will be in misery, that you will be in distress, that you will be in a wretched condition. We have not sent down the Qur'an to put you in that kind of condition. This is in Surah Tufa, 20th Surah, 1st and 2nd Ayat. The meaning is, إِنَّمَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ عَلَيْكَ لِتَسْعَدَ. That indeed Allah is saying, verily, we have sent this Qur'an down upon you for this reason, and only this reason, and that is so that you will have happiness. That's why the Qur'an has been sent down. You want happiness? That's what Allah sent the Qur'an down for. So you have to examine yourself. Where are you in reference to the Qur'an? Yani, how much of your life is devoted to the Qur'an? To reading the Qur'an? Understanding the meanings in the Qur'an? Contemplating on the Qur'an? Acting upon the Qur'an? How much of your life is devoted to this? That is really where it all lies. That's the core of the matter. وَقَدْ كِيلَ فِي بَعْدُ كُتُبِ التَّفْسِيرِ. And the Shaykh said, it has been said in some of the books of tafsir, and from amongst them it has been mentioned specifically in the tafsir Ibn Kathir, أَنَّهُ لَمَّا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ. That when Allah sent down the Qur'an upon His Messenger, قَامَ بِهِ هُوَ أَصْحَابُهُ, He, that is Rasulullah ﷺ and His companions, established the Qur'an in their lives. Yani, they didn't take the Qur'an as a book to read, yani, for pastime, or to read in Ramadan, or to read on the day of Jumu'ah. Rather, they established it. قَامَ بِهِ. They established it in their lives. فَقَالَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ مِنْ Quraysh. So some of the pagans from the Quraysh said that this Qur'an has not been sent down upon Muhammad except to bring him misery, distress. That's what they said. So Allah revealed in response to them, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We have not sent down the Qur'an upon you to put you in misery, in distress, to make you unhappy. Rather, indeed, we have sent this Qur'an down upon you for the reason of making you happy, to bring you happiness. فَالسَّعَادَةُ الْحَقِيقِيَّةُ وَهَنَاءَةُ الْعَيْشِ وَذُوقْ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ وَحَلَاوَةُ الدِّينِ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ كِتَابِ رَبِّنَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So real happiness, السَّعَادَةُ الْحَقِيقِيَّةُ, real happiness is not the temporary experience of a tasty food or an enjoyable recreation or entertainment. Real happiness, yani, is lasting happiness that is from in the heart of the human being. It's not from some physical pleasure. The Shaykh says, فَالسَّعَادَ الْحَقِيقِيَّةِ, real happiness, if that's what you're seeking. And يعني حَنَاءَةَ الْعَيْشِ, يعني good health and well-being. And tasting the flavor of Iman and the sweetness of the Deen, this indeed, it will only be by means of the noble Qur'an, the book of our Rabb. So this is an important section that the Shaykh summarized here in these few sentences, of tremendous importance. If a person reflects upon what we have read here and takes it to heart, meaning, let me examine this, read it a few times, reflect upon it, look at myself in reference to this Qur'an. If I'm looking for happiness, then it's by means of the Qur'an. There's no other way to achieve happiness. Whatever else you're looking for happiness in, believe me, you will not find it there. It will only be in the Qur'an. The Shaykh goes to the next topic here. And there are no subtitles, so I'm going to try to remind us when we change topics, right? The Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ آيَاتٌ عَدِيدَةٌ فِيهَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ بِالتَّدَبُّرْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ حَتَّى, يعني لِكَيْ يَذُوقُ حَلَاوَتَهُ. For this reason has come in the Qur'an a number of ayats, many ayats, in which Allah has commanded His worshippers with reflection, tadabbur, contemplation upon this Qur'an, reflecting upon this Qur'an, so that, حَتَّى يَذُوقُ حَلَاوَتُهُ, so that, يعني, the person will be able to taste its sweetness. Yani, Allah has commanded us with tadabbur, to contemplate, to reflect upon the Qur'an, so that we would taste the sweetness of the Qur'an. If you are not tasting the sweetness of the Qur'an, it's because, yani, you haven't really given yourself over to it. Yani, to reflecting, contemplating on the ayat of the Qur'an and its meanings. لَنْهُ لَا يَذُوقُ حَلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ تَدَبَّرَ آيَاتِهِ وَعَقِلَ مَضَامِنَهُ وَفَهِمَ مَعَانِيَهُ. And this is because no one will taste the sweetness of the Quran. And the Quran has sweetness, right? Yani, perhaps sometime we have read some ayahs from the Quran that really yani cause joy to come to our heart, a brightness over our soul, yani a happiness that you don't experience from anything else. A real joy. Yani, sometimes you read something in the Quran and it affected your heart. Perhaps it caused you to cry, yani, out of happiness from the sweetness of the Quran. No one will taste the sweetness of the Quran, nor will anyone benefit by the Quran or through the Quran except the one who reflects upon its ayat wa aqila madaminahu, and the person who grasps, yani who comprehends the implicit, implied meanings in the Quran and understands the clear meanings, direct meanings of the Quran. Yani the person who comprehends that even what is implied in the Quran, yani by reflecting, by contemplating. A person might understand that there's an implication in these words. You have to understand that, as well as understanding the meanings that are clear. ولهذا يقول شيخ المفسرين الإمام الطبري. And for this reason, the Shaykh of the Mufassirin, Imam al-Tabari. Yani, Shaykh al-Mufassirin, what do we mean? What does he mean by this? He's the Shaykh of some scholars of Tafsir. Yani, the Shaykh, he said, Shaykh al-Mufassirin. Yani, he is Imam al-Mufassirin, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir. Al-Imam Abu Ja'far. Huh? Al-Tabari, naam. Al-Imam Abu Ja'far. Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. This, yani, sometimes you read in a book, Ibn Jarir said. That means, yani, this is al-Imam al-Tabari. The scholars who came after him, all of them, they based their tafsirs upon his tafsir. The tafsir of Ibn Kathir is directly taken from the tafsir of al-Tabari. Except that Ibn Kathir summarized some things, left some things, and added some from himself. But every scholar who came after him, they had to rely upon al-Tabari. So this is what Al-Imam Al-Tabari rahimahullah said, إِنِّي أَعْجَبُ مِنْ مَنْ قَرَعَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ تَعْوِيلَهُ. That I'm amazed, astonished at the one who reads the Qur'an and didn't understand, didn't know what is its meanings, its explanations. He said, كَيْفَ يَلْتَذُّ بِقِرَاعَتِهِ. How can this person enjoy its reading, its recitation, without understanding its meanings? The ta'wil of the Qur'an. Not just the surface meaning, but the ta'wil means the tafsir, the explanation of the Qur'an. As he is using it here. Of course, ta'wil has another meaning also, yani a blameworthy meaning. But Imam Tabari, he means ta'wil, yani tafsir. How can the person enjoy? How can they find pleasure in? How can they be delighted in the reading or recitation of the Qur'an if they didn't know its meanings? وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ آيَاتْ كَثِيرَةٌ فِيهَا الْأَمْرَ بِالتَّدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. So for this reason there came in the Qur'an many ayats containing the command to reflect upon the noble Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, 4th surah, 82nd ayat, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Did they not contemplate, reflect upon the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. And if it had been from other than Allah, they would have found in it, يعني, اختلافًا كثيرًا. Many differences, many contradictions. But the point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Do they not reflect, ponder over the Qur'an? And you mean Allah is telling us, this is what you have to do. And in another place, يَقُولُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, contemplate the meanings of the Qur'an? Or is it coming down upon hearts that have locks upon them? أَقْفَالُهَا, يعني locks. Their hearts are locked. Locked out from understanding the Qur'an. How can you understand the Qur'an if you didn't read it with care, with reflection, pondering over its meanings, contemplating its meanings. This is from Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 24th Ayah. وَيَقُولُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Yani, this from Surah Al-Sa'ad, 38th Surah, 29th Ayat, a book that we have sent down to you, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mubarakun, yani full of blessings, baraka, kathratul khayr, a lot of good is in it. So that you may ponder over its ayat, reflect over its ayat, contemplate its ayat, and so that you, that the people, yani ulul albab, the people of understanding, that they may be reminded, that they may take heed. The Shaykh says, وَأَخْبَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَنَّ سَبَبَ الدَّلَالِ مَنْ ضَلَّ وَحَلَاقِ مَنْ حَلَكَ وَالضَّيَاعِ مَنْ ضَعَ الْبُعُدْ عَنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَعَنْ تَدَبُّرِهِ. Yani, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has informed us that the reason, the cause of the dalal, the misguidance of those who have gone astray, and the destruction, the halak of those who have been destroyed, and the daya, the yani of those who were lost and ruined, their ruin, the reason for this, it is their distance, being distanced, al-bu'd, being distanced from the Quran, and being distanced from contemplating, pondering, reflecting upon it. Yani, the reason why people went astray, the reason why people were destroyed, the reason why people were ruined, those who were ruined, those who went astray, is because of their distance from the Quran. And their being, yani, their failure to contemplate on the Quran. So then again, let's look at ourselves. Don't look at the people who were destroyed, people who went astray, people who were ruined. Look at ourselves. To what extent we have gone astray, or we have been destroyed, or subjected to some ruin in our lives, it is to the extent that we have distanced ourselves from the Quran and contemplating upon it. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear, أن هؤلاء وأمثالهم لو تدبروا القرآن لوجدوا فيه شفاء الصدور والصلاح القلوب وسعادة الدنيا والآخرة. And again, this critical point, yani, the Shaykh is saying, Allah has made clear that those people and the likes of them, yani, who were destroyed, who went astray, who were ruined, لو تدبروا القرآن, if they had contemplated, pondered over the Quran, they would have found in it healing for the chest, shifa al-sudur. Yani, we have some sicknesses in our chest, in our inner beings, in our souls, whether it is envy, jealousy, hypocrisy, kufr, whatever it is, the sicknesses of our hearts, hatred, rancor, yani, these sicknesses, we will have found in the Quran a healing, a cure for what is in the chest. وَصَلَاحُ الْقُلُوبِ, and a means of piety, uprightness and righteousness for the hearts. Yani, that which will correct and reform and rectify the heart. You will find it in the Quran. And happiness in this world and the next life. Happiness in this world and happiness in the next life, it is found only in the Quran. Wherever else you're looking for it, you're not going to find it. قال الله تعالى قَدَ كَانَتْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Yani, indeed, my ayat have been recited upon you. فَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ تَنْقِصُونَ. But you were turning back on your heels, running from it, escaping from it, not listening or paying attention to it. مُسْتَقْبِرِينَ, in pride. مُسْتَقْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ. Yani, being in a state of pride and arrogance, turning away from it out of pride or arrogance, and talking about it, speaking about this Quran and about the Prophet ﷺ with evil in the night. And Allah says in the next ayat, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ أَمْ جَاءَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِي أَبَاءَهُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Did they not reflect upon this statement? يعني القول, meaning the Quran. يعني their condition was because they didn't reflect upon the Quran. Or is it that something has come to them that didn't come to their fathers before them, their forefathers? This is from Surah Al-Mu'mineen, 23rd ayat, 66 through 68. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ did they not reflect upon the qawl, meaning لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ تَدَبَّرُوا, that if only they had reflected upon this speech, yani the Qur'an, وَعَقَلُوا مَعَنَاهُ, and they comprehended its meaning, وَفَهِمُوا دَلَالَاتِهِ, and they understood its indications, لَمَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ هَذَا النُّقُوسِ عَلَى الْعَاقَابِ, then this turning back on the hills would not have occurred. It would not have happened to them. وَلَمَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ الضَّلَالِ وَالضَّيَاءِ وَالْفَسَادِ, nor would they, يعني, have gone astray, or been in ruin, or in, يعني, corruption, fallen into corruption, if they had contemplated upon this book, and they comprehended it, and understood it. None of this would have happened to them. They would not have turned back on the heels. They would not have gone astray. They would not have been lost or in ruin or in corruption. فَهَذَا يُدُلُّنَا دَلَالَةً بَيِّنَةً عَلَى أَنَّ الضَّيَاءَ الْإِنسَانِ وَفَسَادَهُ وَإِنْحِرَافَهُ وَزَيْغَهُ بِحَسَبْ بُعْدِهِ عَنْ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ الْعَظِيمِ وَهَذَا النُّورَ الْمُبِينِ الَّذِي فِيهِ سَعَادَتُهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. And this is a clear indication to us that the ضَيَاءَ, يعني the loss or ruin of a people, of a person, of an insan, a human being, وَفَسَادَهُ, and his corruption, وَإِنْحِرَافَهُ, his deviation from the truth, وَزَيْغَهُ, perversion. This society is full of perversion and deviation and corruption. All of this, the Shaykh is saying, this ayat, or this, yani, this meaning here in this ayat is making us, is clearly pointing to the fact that this, all of this loss, destruction, deviation, ruin, corruption, perversion, بِحَسْبِ بُعْدِهِ عَنْ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ الْعَظِيمِ, it is in accordance with, or in proportion to, the person's being distanced from this great book, and this clear light, which contains in it, سَعَادَتُهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ, it contains in it, yani, that person's happiness in his worldly life and in his hereafter. Contemplating on the Quran, the Shaykh goes to a new point now again. Okay, he says, وَقَدْ سَمَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْقُرْآنَ الْكَرِيمَ فِي مَوَادِعٍ عَدِيدَةٍ ذِكْرًا, that Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, He has named the noble Qur'an in many places, ذِكْرًا. He has named it with this expression, ذِكْرًا, that the Qur'an is a ذِكْرًا. Yani, it is a reminder. It mentions some things to remind you of them. It mentions things to remind you of them. Because the human being is forgetful. Human being is forgetful. Yani, some of the scholars of Arabic, they said, yani, the human being is called insan because of nisyan. Yani, the human being is called insan because of nisyan, because human being is forgetful. And so Allah reminds us over and over and over again. He keeps mentioning these things that we need to remember because He knows that we forget. So the Shaykh, he says, so Allah has meant, He has named the Quran. One of the names of the Quran that Allah has referred to it by is dhikr. Qala Allah Ta'ala, قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا, in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 10th Ayah, that indeed Allah has revealed to you a reminder. And Allah said another place in the Quran, Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 1st Ayah, وَالْقُرْآنِ ذِي ذِكْرِ, yani in the Quran, which is the ذِي ذِكْرِ, yani صاحب ذِكْرِ, the possessor of, yani ذِكْرِ, reminders, remembrance. لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ فِيهِ ذِكْرٌ, because the Qur'an contains within it the mention of the khabr of man qablana, yani the news, the history of those who were before us. وَنَبَعُ مَا بَعَدَنَا, and the news, yani future, of what will come after us. وَفِيهِ ذِكْرُ أَسْمَاءِ رَبِّنَا وَأَوْصَافِهِ, and also it contains in it the mention of the names of our Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His awsaf, yani His sifat, His characteristics. وَفِيهِ ذِكْرُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, and also it contains the mention of, and reminding us about, al-jannah wa-nar, Yani, how many times Allah reminds us about the Jannah and the Nar in the Quran? How many times came the Jannah and Nar? Mentioned how many times? Reminding us again and again and again that the life in this world is temporary and in the end of it there's Jannah and Nar. What could be more important that a person remember every day, day and night, that at the end of this life is Jannah or Nar? That's the ultimate. Jannah or Nar. Subhanallah. So the Quran reminds us by mentioning to us the Jannah and the Nar. وَفِيهِ ذِكْرُ الْأَحْكَامِ وَأَوَامِ وَالنَّوَاهِ. And also it contains the mention of and the reminder of the rulings, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commands, the prohibitions. And what we have been commanded with so that we can do it. And what we have been prohibited from so that we can leave it. Because otherwise if we're not reminded, we might not do those things that we have been commanded with. We might not abandon those things that we have been prohibited. But if a person is reading the Quran every day, giving their heart to the Quran, reading it with reflection, contemplation, pondering over what they are reading, and they are reading these commands and these prohibitions, then it will affect them. If they are, yani if their heart is in it, sincerely for the sake of Allah. وَفِيهِ ذِكْرُ الْقُلُوبِ. And also the Quran contains a reminder for the hearts. Remembrance for the hearts. So that the heart doesn't become unmindful. If the person is unmindful, heedless, they don't know what's going on around them. So the Quran contains ذِكْرُ الْقُلُوبِ. Reminders for the hearts. وَفِيهِ ذِكْرُ مَا فِيهِ فَلَحْ الْعَبْدِ وَصَلَاحُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. And it also contains that which is the means of success for the abd, for the human being. And the salahuhu, the means of his uprightness, piety and righteousness in his worldly life and in his hereafter. And in his worldly life and in his religious life. In the affairs that are related to what he's going to be doing in this world, enjoying things of the world, and the affairs of the next life, what's going to be the means of him yani entering Jannah and being saved from the hellfire. All of this is in the Quran. وَإِذَا كَانَ سَمَّاهُ رَبُّنَا جَلَّ وَعَلَى فِي مَوَادٍ عَدِيدَ ذِكْرًا. And if it is so, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named this Quran in many places as ذِكْرًا, reminder, فَمَعْنَ ذَٰلِكَ أَنَّ مَنِ ابْتَعَدَ عَنَ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. So the meaning of this, by Allah saying this is a reminder, the meaning is that if a person distanced themselves from the noble Qur'an, they will be of the people who are not remembering. They will be مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, the heedless, the unmindful, those who are inattentive, neglectful. Yani if a person is not reading the Qur'an, reflecting on the Qur'an, pondering over the Qur'an, then they will be, yani if they are not taking this reminder, they will be of those who are unmindful, who are inattentive. وَلَا يَكُونَ الْعَبْدِ بَعِيدًا عَنَ الْغَفْلَةِ سَالِمًا مِنْهَا إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ لَهُ حَظٌ وَنَصِيبٌ مِنْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ الْمُبَارَكِ الَّذِي فِيهِ حَيَاةُ الْقُلُوبِ وَذِكْرُ الْعَالَمِينَ وَفَلَاحُهُمْ وَسَعَادَتُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْأُخْرَى الْآخِرَةِ. So the Shaykh, he closed this point here, before he goes to a new point. He said that a person will not be ba'id, far removed from al-ghafla, unmindfulness, heedlessness, inattentiveness. A person will not be removed from this state of ghafla, safe from it, except that they have a portion and a share of this blessed book that contains within it the life of the hearts. And the hearts will be dead without it. And the dhikr, yani reminder for everything in the creation. And the success for them. And the happiness and good fortune for them in this world and in the next life. After this, the Shaykh goes to another point. And this point is, yani the description of the Qur'an, a description of the Qur'an in which Allah shows us the great effect, tremendous effect of the Qur'an on the one who accepts it into their heart. The one who reads it, believing in it. Seeks out its meanings, to understand it, to comprehend it, to live by it, to act upon it. Yani that person will be affected in a way that's unimaginable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this by a parable. وَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Yani Allah has described this Quran بِأَنَّهُ, that it is such that لَوْ أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَتَصَدَّعَ. And this is how he described the Quran. That if it had been sent down, if Allah had sent it down upon a mountain, you would see it, yani, falling apart, crumbling to pieces, breaking up into pieces, cracking and crumbling to pieces. This is how Allah describes the Quran. That is the how effective the Quran is. That if it had been sent down upon a mountain, it would cause it to fall apart, to crumble to pieces. Call Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 21st Ayat, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتُهُ خَاشِئًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That if we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, then you would have seen it, the mountain, humbling itself, crumbling, breaking to pieces, min khashyati Allah, out of the fear of Allah. And these are parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down, that perhaps the people may reflect upon them. So the mountain, al-asam, yani, which is a massive rock, solid, hard, firm rock, as-sulb, yani, fal-jabal, al-asammu, as-sulb, yani, this, yani, mountain, which is solid, rigid, firm, hard rock. لَوْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لَتَصَدَّعَ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That if this Quran had been revealed upon this solid rock mountain, a solid rock mountain, if the Quran had been revealed upon it, then it would crumble out of the fear awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ تَرِدُ عَلَيْهَا زواجر القرآن وقوارع القرآن ومواعظ القرآن فلا يتحرك فيها ساكن بل تبقى على قصوتها. This, يعني, on the one hand, if the Quran had been sent down on solid rock mountain, you would see it crumbling to pieces. While وكثير من القلوب, while there are many of the hearts of the human beings that تَرِدُ عَلَيْهَا زَوَاجِرُ الْقُرْآنِ, where these reprimands or stern warnings of the Qur'an came to them in the reading of Qur'an or in the listening to Qur'an. وَقَوَاعِدُ الْقُرْآنِ, yani, the sudden calamities and adversities that could befall a person that are mentioned in the Qur'an, and the admonitions that are mentioned in the Qur'an, pass by the human being. فَلَا تَحَرَّكُوا فِيهَا سَاكِنٌ, and that which is sakin, yani, which is what? Huh? Still. Doesn't move at all. It doesn't move that person's heart at all. Nothing moves. Nothing happens. Yani, this which is in the Quran, if it was revealed on a mountain, it would cause it to crumble. But yet, yani, the human being reads the Quran and their heart is not affected. Rather, it remains on its state of hardness. The heart, yani, unremorseful about the way a person is living. Here, the Shaykh, he quotes from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. And this quotation, yani, the beginning of the quotation is not mentioned here, which probably led to some misunderstanding about this sentence here. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ عَنْهَا, yani, in the translation of the book, say, he has informed about it, says the hearts. But it's not talking about the hearts. It's talking about the mountains. It's talking about the mountains. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ عَنْهَا فَاتِرُهَا وَبَارِيهَا أَنَّهُ لَوْ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْهَا the mountains كَلَامَهُ لَخَشَعَتْ وَلَتَصَدَّعَتْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Yani, here Allah is informing us, Ibn Qayyim says, Allah informed us, yani the creator and originator of these mountains, that if He had sent down upon the mountains His speech, the mountain would have trembled and the mountain would have crumbled from the fear of Allah. فَيَا عَجَبًا So, oh, how amazing it is. مِن مُدْغَةِ لَحْمٍ أَقْسَى مِن هَذِهِ الْجِبَالِ Oh, how amazing, astonishing it is that a little piece of flesh, yani the heart, a little morsel of flesh, of meat, is harder, more hard than these mountains that would crumble from the Quran being revealed upon them. That's amazing. تَسْمَعُ عَيَاتِ اللَّهِ Yani this piece of flesh in the human being, the heart, through which one should comprehend and understand. It hears the ayat of Quran, tutla alayha, recited to it. And Ar-Rabb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned, فَلَا تَلِينُوا وَلَا تَخْشَعُوا وَلَا تُنِيبُوا And it doesn't soften at all. It doesn't, yani it's not humbled by the recitation of the reading of Quran, nor does it cause that human being to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيْسَ بمستنكر على الله عز وجل ولا يخالف حكمته أن يخلق لها نارا تذيبها So it is not something strange or odd or objectionable upon Allah and it's not something strange for Allah nor is it in opposition or in contradiction to His wisdom that in the case of those hearts that He would create a fire that would melt them Yani, it's not strange that Allah will create a fire for those people whose hearts are not moved by the speech of Allah, by the warnings of Allah, the threats of Allah, the punishment that Allah has for those who disobey Him. It's not strange that Allah would create a fire that would melt those hearts. Because if that those hearts are not softened by His speech, the speech of Allah, the Kalamullah, the Qur'an, or by His mention, or by yani those stern warnings that came in the Qur'an, and admonitions that came in the Qur'an. So whoever, yani his heart is not softened for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, and it didn't cause him to turn back to Allah in this world, and it didn't melt his heart, yani his love, or his crying out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should enjoy himself a little bit. فَلْيَتَمَطَّعَ قَلِيلًا Yani the life in this world is brief. فَإِنَّ أَمَامَهُ الْمُلِينُ الْأَعْظَمُ وَسَيَرُدُّ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَسَيَرَى وَيَعْلَمُ So enjoy a little bit of enjoyment in this world. Indeed, in front of that person, there is the great softener. Yani that will melt the hearts. That fire that Allah created for those hearts that are not softened in this world by the Qur'an. So that person will return to the one who knows that which is unseen and that which is witnessed. And he will see and he will come to know. After this, the Shaykh goes again to a new point. This time, Naam. Okay, this is the last point, inshallah, that we're going to take today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The new point, the Shaykh, he talks here about the Qur'an as the spring of the heart, and the light of the chest, and the remover of grief and sorrow, sadness, anxiety, The Shaykh, he says, فَذِكْرُ الْقُلُوبِ وَيَقَضَعَ النُّفُوسِ وَصَلَاحُهَا إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِإِرْتِبَاطِهَا بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ The remembrance of the hearts, the heart remembering, being reminded, and the awakening of the souls, and the uprightness of the human beings will only be through its being tied, connected to this Qur'an. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْقُرْآنُ رَبِيعَ لِلْقَلْبِ. So if the Qur'an becomes the spring for the heart, yani the spring meaning the source from which life comes and things grow forth and good comes forth. If the Qur'an becomes the rabi' of the heart, then the abd, the worshipper, will come to life with it to experience hayatan jamila, haniyatan sa'idatan, yani a happy, enjoyable, beautiful life. If the Qur'an becomes the rabi' of the qalb. And there has come, yani this expression came in a dua that has been narrated authentically from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the removal of al-ham wal-gham, yani distress and grief and anxiety and sorrow. And the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as'aluka bi kulli ism huwa lak sammayta bihi nafsaka aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqika aw anzaltahu fi kitabika aw ista'tharta bihi fi 'ilm al-ghaib 'indaka an taj'al al-qur'ana rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri wa jila'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi. Yani this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmed and others, and the beginning of the hadith, yani I want to read it from the beginning, yani the Shaykh is just quoting the supplication from the beginning of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma qala 'abdun qat idha asabahu ham wa hazan, yani there is no abd at all ever who has been afflicted by anxiety or worry or grief or sorrow. And then he says these words, this supplication, there's no one who does so, illa adhhabu Allah hammahu wa huznahu wa abdalahu makanahu farahan. And different narrations, the wording is slightly different, but that's the exact meaning. It came like this, that there's no abd at all who has been afflicted by anxiety, worry, grief, or sorrow, and recites this supplication sincerely from their heart, understanding its meaning, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that Allah will remove from that person his worries, anxieties, sorrow, and grief, and replace in it or put in its place, yani happiness and joy. Naam, this is a supplication, yani by the way, in the hadith, it's narrated by Ahmed. قالوا يا رسول الله ينبغي لنا أن نتعلم هؤلاء الكلمات, يعني O Messenger of Allah, is it incumbent upon us to learn these words? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أجل. In different narrations, the wording is a little bit different, but the meaning is the same. ينبغي لمن سمعهن أن يتعلمهن, يعني it is incumbent on whoever heard these words for them to learn them. يعني if you heard them, it's incumbent upon you to learn them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma inni abduka ibnu abdika ibnu amatika nasiyati bi yadik madin fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qada'uk. Yani, O Allah, I am your abd, your slave, your worshipper, the son of your abd, the son of your female abd. Yani, meaning that I am your abd and my parents are also, yani, an ibadah to you, an ubudiyah to you. Nasiyati biyadik, you have complete control over me. Yani, my forelock is in your hands, meaning you have control over me. Madan fiya hukmuk, your ruling is executed. Whatever you have ruled is going to be executed. Wa adlan fiya qadak, and your decree is just. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after saying this, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi kulli ism huwa lak. I ask you by every name which belongs to you. Sammayta bihi nafsak, every name that you have named yourself with. And just today, I saw on the internet, a brother posted this supplication, not from our class. And when I was reading it, somebody commented on it and said, beautiful supplication, but the translation is way off. And from amongst the insanity that this person commented on this supplication with, their own translation, which was way off, yani abad, even further off, from amongst their strange translation of it, they included, Allah has never said that He named Himself with any names. Yani, Rasulullah, you just got finished reading the hadith. Rasulullah said that, with every name that you named yourself with. Yani, how can a person read a hadith, the sahih, When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As'aluka bi kulli ism huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak." You have named yourself with these names. And then say, Allah never named himself, he never said he named himself with any names. I consider that to be real insanity. The person, they gave the name Imam somebody. And then they exposed themselves and they said, Imam Muhammad taught us 46 years ago to learn Arabic. Yani Warfuddin Muhammad. Then it became clear. Wallahu musta'an. I don't want to get sidetracked with this because we're running out of time. It's close. Yani, but I couldn't like refrain from this comment. Subhanallah. Yani, Allah has named himself. He said, I ask you by every name that belongs to you. Every name that you have named yourself with, or that you have taught to anyone from amongst your creation, or that you have revealed in your book, or that you have kept hidden with yourself in the knowledge of the unseen that's with you alone, that nobody else knows about. I ask you by every name that belongs to you, that you have named yourself with. Yani, that you have revealed in your book, or you have taught to someone, yani from amongst your creatures, or even the names that nobody knows, that's in the knowledge of the unseen with you alone. I ask you by all of these names that belong to you, that you make the Qur'an the Rabi'a Qalbi, the spring of my heart, and the light of my chest, Nura Sadri, Wajila'a, and some narrations, Jala'a Huzni, and that which removes my yani sadness and grief, wa dhahaba hamni, and that which causes the cessation of my anxiety and worries. Yani, this is something that we are in need of. This is something that we are in need of. Nobody supplicates with this except that Allah will remove his worries and his anxiety and his grief and his sorrow and replace it with happiness. The Shaykh says, reflect upon this, O my dear brother, may Allah grant you success. Reflect upon these meanings, which are the thimar of the Qur'an, wa atharuhu. Yani, these are the fruits of the Qur'an. And these are the effects of the Qur'an. Yani, that the Qur'an, if it became the Rabi'a Qalb wa Nur Sadr, it can, yani, do all of this for you. That is, that if Allah makes the Qur'an the Rabi'a Qalb, yani, the spring of your heart and the light of your chest. When he mentioned the heart, he said, Rabi'a Qalbi. And when he mentioned the chest, he said, Nur Sadri. And this is because the chest surrounds Muhitun bil Qalb. Yani, لِأَنَّ الصَّدْرَ مُحِيطٌ بِالْقَلْبِ فَإِذَا ضَاعَ صَدْرَ انْعَقَسَ ضِيَاؤُهُ عَلَى كُلُّ مَا فِي دَاخِلِهِ. So if the heart is lighted up, then it reflects its rays upon everything that is inside of it. And if the chest is enlightened, if it's filled with light, then it will reflect its rays upon everything that's inside of the chest. And when he mentioned the heart, he said, yani, he mentioned, yani, ذَكَرَ الرَّبِيعَ, yani, the spring. And that is because the heart, it is the manba, yani, it is the spring or the source of the fadail, of all virtuous characteristics and virtuous acts and deeds. The heart is the source of all virtue. If that person is given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to as-salah and as-zakat, yani to uprightness and purity. And the proof of that is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed there is in the body a mudgha, a piece of flesh. If it is upright, healthy and whole, the whole body is upright, healthy and whole. And if it is corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. Isn't it the heart? Yani, agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Yani, this heart, it is the manba of fadail, the source of all virtue. So if the heart becomes the Quran becomes the spring of your heart, the source of your deeds and your actions and your thoughts, then yani, only good will come forth from the heart. وَهَذَا فِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ لَطِيفَةٌ إِلَى أَنَّ الْقَلْبَ أَنَّمَا يَصْلُحُ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَكُونُ رَبِيًّا. And there is a fine indication, إِشَارَ لَطِيفَ, yani not obvious direct, but an indication that the heart, when it is upright and wholesome due to the Qur'an, then it will be the رَبِيَّ, yani the Qur'an will be the source of everything coming from that heart. And the رَبِيَّ, yani, it brings forth the most, yani, wholesome of all fruits, and the most أجمل, beautiful of all flowers, وأحسن, the most excellent of roses, and the most يعني fragrant of scents. نعم. So what will come from the heart? That it's يعني ربيع, يعني it's يعني the heart that has the Quran as its spring. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, in his saying, جِلَاء حُزْنِي, يعني then make also the Quran the removal of my sadness and grief. He said, in this is a great benefit from the benefits of the Quran, that the removal of whatever is in the heart of sadness, pains, worries, grief, all of this that's in the heart, يعني the removal of it, إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ الْعَظِيمِ, it will only occur by means of this great book, الَّذِي هُوَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ كِتَابَ السَّعَادَةِ, which is in reality a book of happiness. يعني if a person is reading the Quran with reflection, contemplation, pondering its meanings, learning, understanding correctly what the Quran means by reading the books of tafsir of the scholars of Sunnah, and they understand the Quran, they give themselves to the Quran is a book of happiness. You can't be other than happy. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن تَسْعَدْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, but you will not achieve happiness by means of the Quran, بِمُجَرَّدْ وَضَعْهِ مُزَخْرَفًا فِي الرَّفٍ فِي الْبَيْتِ, by just merely putting it decorated on a shelf in your house. You will not achieve happiness from the Quran just by putting it in a beautiful place in your house. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن يَذُوقَهَا بِمُجَرَّدْ حَذِّ قِرَاعَتِهِ, nor will you taste يعني the sweetness of this Quran by simply hurriedly يعني hastily reciting it without تدبر and without تعقل and تفهم, يعني without reflection and comprehension and understanding the Quran. وَلَا عَمَلْ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ, and without acting upon this book. بل سعادة القرآن وهلاوته وهناءة العيش المحصلة بالقرآن الكريم لا تكون إلا بالتدبر بتدبره وتعقل معانيه والعمل بما فيه. Indeed, the happiness that comes from the Quran and its sweetness that brings joy to the heart and the soul, that makes a person to be at rest, to be satisfied, to have comfort and peace and happiness. Yani the good life, yani the well-being, health and well-being, good life that comes from the Quran, that will be achieved by this noble Quran, it will not be achieved except by contemplating on the Quran, comprehending its meanings, and acting upon that which is in it. Naam. May Allah help us يعني to take what has been said here to heart and to live by it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.